Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to an emergency episode of The Fish Tank, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, not in the Casabella Design Group studios. I'm in the office because it is an emergency episode, although emergency makes it sound like something unexpected and dire. But it's an emergency nonetheless, because I think the Dolphins are in a state of emergency, and we already knew this. But here I am, joined by the man with the best hands in the podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice. Big news today, and we want to get into it in just a moment, but we also can't do this without introducing the Emmy-adjacent producer, our guy, the legendary Savak. So we had to pull Savak off the streets. He was literally in the streets. We had to pull him back into the studio here to discuss this. When did you find out the news, OJ McDuffie, that, well, I guess the Dolphins informed us that they have informed Tua that they will be releasing him?
Yeah, man, the phone starts blowing up. Situations like this, this isn't like, a pooch punter or, a long snapper got released. You know, this is your franchise quarterback that you invest a lot of money in, top five pick in. When that news hits, everybody around the world that I know, how much I love the Dolphins, want to see if I found. Everybody wanted to be the first ones to break the news, Big
right,
Seth.
Right.
You know how that is, man. You know,
who was the first one to break the news?
Well, they all broke at the same time because I was away from my phone. There was like 6, 7, 10 messages. So I'm trying to think who was the first one in the timeline, or actually the last one, in the timeline that hit me up, man. But it's there's a lot of people out there that were, like you said, talking about this, expecting this, but man, when it hits, it really like, damn, this is real. We're letting Tua go,
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. What about you, Savak? When did you find out when we texted you? When did you find out?
I just found out when you got to me. I was not plugged into that at all. As I told you guys before, when I was out on a walk, I didn't even have my phone on me, so I walked into this news.
Nice. Okay, well, nice. So if you haven't, here it is. Here's from John Eric Sullivan, the Miami Dolphins' new general manager. I recently informed Tua and his representation that we are going to move in a new direction at the quarterback position, and we'll be releasing him after the start of the new league year. Now, this is not in the quotes, but the new league year starts at 4 p.m. this Wednesday, March 11th. So as I shared with Tua, I have great respect for the person and player he is. On behalf of the Miami Dolphins, I express our gratitude for his many contributions, both on the field and in the community during his 6 seasons in Miami. As we move forward, we will be focused on infusing competition across the roster and establishing a strong foundation for this team as we work towards building a sustained winner. Now, if you go back and look at your timeline, Savak, you're going to see the Dolphins posted a thank you to a graphic, and then followed that with a 1 minute long thank you to a video. Well done video there by Mike Milius and the team. I'm assuming it was Mike and the content team over there. And then Tua also had a really nice post on his Tua Man Instagram that you don't see a lot from, but he had a very well thought out post. So it sounds to me like these conversations were being had. They chose today as the day to announce the news, which is probably smart. Get out in front of it. Why wait until Wednesday and just drop it when there's everything else going on? This will allow the media cycle to digest it for 2 days. And then hopefully Wednesday can be about new players that are being brought into the Miami Dolphins. So not a surprise in the sense that we knew it had gotten to this point. But I got to tell you, and for me, I was in the car. I dropped my son off from school. I was listening to our buddy Joe Rose, and they started playing the na-na-na-na music. And
harsh right there. It's harsh.
It was harsh. But, this whole thing has been harsh. And so I'm a little in my feelings. I tweeted that it hits different when it becomes official, and not because I am saddened or feel badly for Tua necessarily, because it's not that. Tua's going to be fine, and Tua has changed his family's trajectory for generations now,
right?
With the contract that he received. And I'm not mad that the decision was made. I think it was the right move one way or another. They had to move on from Tua, but it just was like, okay. And we know all of this. You've had a general manager that was fired midseason. You had a head coach that was fired the day after Black Monday. We've got a new head coach. We've got a new general manager, clearly moving in a different direction. But this was like the final shoe dropping to remind you of the just absolute organizational failure that was the rebuild, the tank for Tua, the 2020 draft. There's one player left from that 2020 draft now that'll be on the roster. As far as we know, that could change as well, and that's Austin Jackson, and he's missed far too many games for a player of his age and importance to the roster. You're now on your third head coach since that 2020 draft.
Ooh.
Okay, your second general manager since that 2020 draft. And you drafted a guy fifth overall, and he's being coached by the head coach that you just fired, who's now his offensive coordinator, and they just picked up Alec Ingold, but that's another subject for another day. It's just an absolute failure. Failure, and we knew that. Like, that didn't change today, but it was just this last-minute reminder. We were just kind of rinsing the taste of all of this out of our mouths, and then unfortunately we had to get through this, and it was inevitable, but that's how I feel this morning. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, Big Seth, honestly, we're in such a bad situation in so many ways. Quarterback play obviously wasn't very good. Salary cap hell, obviously, that as well. Some other players that are disgruntled that had high cap values that they might have been producing, but were they worth their weight in gold, at the same time? And, we can talk about Tua too. Cows come home, man. But that was a colossal mistake, from something from the beginning in 2020 with the draft. And some definitely feel that 4 years later when he got the extension that he got.
Sure.
And so it's been, it's been a tough deal. And of course, we've had Tua's done some really, really nice things, but as a quarterback, as we talk about all the time, the most important position in sports, he didn't do enough.
Nope.
You know, and you could put everything about all the offensive line. Oh, they didn't have this. I've seen quarterbacks do more with less in front of them. You know what I mean? And that was really Tua's downfall. Tua's inability to lift the team up every single week and put them on their backs and go into a fourth quarter and feeling like, you know, we're going to win this game because Tua's our quarterback. That's a mindset that permeates, you know, through the whole building, you know, and that wasn't how we felt. You know, of course, he has some splash plays, you know, or some splash games. But for the most part, if I go into a game and I've got Josh Allen at quarterback, or I've got Lamar Jackson at quarterback, or if I've got some of these other great quarterbacks, you know, Stafford, I know that at fourth quarter, I got a chance to come out there with a win. How often do we feel that way with Tua as quarterback? And it's not a knock on him, man. It's just like I just never felt like a game was safe with us having to go down and get a score, or, you know, us have to, you know, come from behind, you know, in the fourth quarter. I just never felt that way. And that's a bad feeling, man. And, you know, I mean, we love Tua as a person. We love Tua in the community, man. But we're about the Miami Dolphins, man. And we're about trying to find a way to win championships. Not win a couple games, win championships. And, you know, and then you said it best, man. When you get a new regime in, I mean, a lot of things change. A lot. I mean, hell, like I talk about a lot of times on our podcast, you know, when Jimmy Johnson came in, Danny was the only one that was safe from that old roster. And then a lot of guys were gone, just like this. A lot of guys were gone, you know, and I think if Jimmy had his way, Danny would have been gone too. You know, I mean, if he would have had his way,
maybe
that's
after
my opinion.
Year one.
That's my opinion, you know, that's my opinion. And so, yeah, it's a tough deal, man. And the biggest part of the whole deal is the money we have to eat. The June 1 designation is one thing, but I mean, you have to cut bait at some point, man. What are you going to do? Some people say, well, you should have let him, you know, come in and compete for the job. Tua is not the same Tua that we saw coming out of Alabama. He's not the same Tua we saw in 22-23. He's not the same Tua and I don't think he will get back to being the same Tua. Too much has happened physically for him to be the same guy, man. And it's frustrating, I know, because injuries are a part of the game, man. But, man, when you've got such a high ceiling, or, you know, pretty high ceiling that he had, then all of a sudden, you know, your skills diminish like that. It's tough, especially for an athlete that's played at a high level. But like you said earlier, Big Seth, he'll be all right. He will be just
fine.
Be
okay.
Generational wealth.
Yeah.
He parlayed that into that, man. And I think that no matter what, you know, Tua's going to get another job somewhere. But, you know, his best bet might be like some of the guys we've had on this program. Some of them don't mind holding the clipboard, Big Seth. Maybe the clipboard is the way to go.
We don't want who didn't, for sure.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic altogether. And you're right. If he never throws the football again in an NFL game, which I don't think will be the case. I think he's going to want to continue to play. But if he and his family decide that they don't want to pursue this as their lifestyle any longer, he won a national championship, set all kinds of records in college ball. He was a number 5 overall draft pick, $200 million that he, you know, was able to bring to his family because of football. And he led the NFL in passing. So it's not like, you know, I don't think that he can sit there and say, boy, I didn't accomplish X, Y, or
right.
Z. Although I know that every player, shoot, Tom Brady's probably wishing that he had won 9 instead of 7, right? He's probably more upset about the 2 he lost to Eli Manning than the 7 that he won. But I who knows what's going through to his head. But I will say that the time, the chapter, the book, the end, the story, all of that had closed here. For them to have kept him on board, I think the only reason you would have done that was to say, well, if we're going to pay him $100 million over the next 2 years, then we might as well try and get some work out of the guy. And I just don't know that that would have been a healthy way to start the season for this new regime. I just think that that would have been very difficult, and there would have been so many things swirling around. Does he come in? You know, he ended last season as the number 3 quarterback. Does he come into this season, you know, trying to unseat Quinn Ewers? Like what does that look like? I think they had to make this move, is my thought. But since the move has been made, and speaking of it, it's potentially a busy day over there, even though technically they can't really do anything until Wednesday. Savak, the other thing that was reported is that the Dolphins have agreed to trade Minkah Fitzpatrick to the New York Jets for a 7th-round draft pick. Okay, so Minkah, you potentially could see him twice a year. He'll be over there with Aaron Glenn and my guy Mason Taylor. The Dolphins pick up a 7th-round pick. My contention is the Dolphins still won that trade. So if everybody wants to dog on the Dolphins and Chris Greer and people that were, Jonnu Smith got released flat out. There was no tradability there. He also got paid that $12 million that they weren't going to pay him here. And I thought Minkah Fitzpatrick had a better season. And he brought some leadership to a defense that really needed it last year, even though, again, the results were not what anybody wanted. So that's the Minkah news. By comparison, it is minuscule to the Tua news. So I think it is our last opportunity here to reflect on the era that was the Tua era.
I want to ask Savak, though, what he thinks before we move on, Big Seth.
Yeah.
Savak, what do you think about the Tua situation today and Tua's career here? Because we didn't get a chance to really – you know, we haven't really chopped it up much about it, man.
I was giving him time to compose himself, Juice. He literally just gave us a walk, upset. Man.
I gave him a little more. I gave him a little time, Big Seth.
And you know he's got 14 dogs, by the way, too. So he was on the walk with 14 dogs on the leash. Hopefully he's got leashes on them bad boys. So
now it's time for him to come correct.
Quite frankly.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's okay. You know, it's unfortunate. It's, you know, obviously as a fan, we're sad to see it end this way. You know, whenever any player, especially a quarterback, gets drafted and one that's expected to become the new franchise quarterback, you want the world of him. You want him to come in and be the savior and take this franchise to where I have not seen it go in my, you know, in my life the last 34 years. So it's sad to see it end this way, but we knew it was coming. We have to move on. The era has come to a close. I mean, I was one of the people and people, everyone called me crazy for saying it back then, but I had kind of already started turning the page on it after 2023. Because it's like, yeah, that was an incredible year, but what did it yield us? It didn't get us any closer to our overall goal.
Frostbite.
Yep. And that told me everything I needed to know. Unfortunately, what we had was not enough to do what we were trying to do. And I do agree with you. I think that Juice put it probably the best.
It's how it usually works on this show.
I know.
whatever.
He just has such a way with words, you know. He's got it. He knows what to say. But just like he said, you remember that one incredible playoff game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills where they were just going back and forth and it came down to like, what, 10, 15 seconds on the clock for Patrick Mahomes to drive down the field and score? I remember watching that game and thinking to myself, I cannot see Tua doing that.
Yeah.
And so that it's exactly that. You know, he was good. You at times he even teetered on great, but it just wasn't enough. And I do wish him well. I'm glad he made his money. Go, you know, take care of your family. That's awesome. And I'm sure he will always have a job on college game day or something, you know. But it was time.
He's going to guest appear maybe for an Alabama game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know
about sideline radio or something. I don't know.
You don't think you can do it? They got Tim Tebow out there doing it.
Yeah, but Tim is proven to be really good on camera.
I'm not saying Tua isn't articulate. I'm just saying Tim is deep, man.
I know he's
a deep thinker, man, and I think he's got a little more.
Oh, we got
Tua
no
at the mic was rough, man, especially his last couple of years. Tua at the mic was a little bit crazy. I mean, we're playing games in Jerusalem, for crying out loud.
That's
so
fair.
Yeah, it was a different deal.
Crazy works on TV. Crazy works. It gets attention.
This is true. This is true. So what I'd like to do is kind of go around the table here, guys, and let's I want to hear each of your and you know, if you'll allow, I'll interject as well. But let's discuss our favorite Tua moments and then let's talk about our least favorite Tua moments. So I don't know. You know, do you want to do favorite first or least favorite? Do you want to end on a high note? Should we end on a high note?
No.
All right.
No, that's not, I mean, this is,
it's honest.
So in that case, we'll start with favorite. Let's let Savak, you kick it off. What was your favorite moment of the Tua Tagovailoa era here in Miami?
We obviously have to go with that Denver game in 2023. I mean, that was when the offense, that was when it peaked. That was the top of their game. Tua was on fire. I think he played a damn near perfect game. Of course, that was also just as much had to do with Devon Achane, who had a 200-yard game. But beyond him, it was the Tua and Tyreek show. And they demonstrated what that offense could be, what his potential ceiling was, and really how feisty they could be. And unfortunately, they just weren't able to sustain that. But during that game, boy, that was a moment to be a Dolphins fan, wasn't it?
Yeah,
just absolutely. Watching them go up and down the field on them. They absolutely dominated Denver in all, just about every facet of the game. And that, oh, it gave me
conga
such a
line celebration, Savak, the whole thing, right?
Yeah. That was second only, my second favorite only to the roller coaster.
The roller coaster was really good. The roller coaster
having fun.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm going to go next, Juice, just because I think I know what your favorite moment is, and that might be the one to end on. But I'm going to go to his rookie season, even though I think there were, you know, some more electric. Well, I don't know if more electric, but his rookie season at Arizona, and we know that there was a lot of controversy of when he got the start and Fitzpatrick was benched and Fitz cried to the media and was very popular here. And Tua may not, probably wasn't ready yet. And you know, certainly there was all of the animosity between Tua and Brian Flores. But if you go to that Arizona game, which kind of ironic that, you know, both Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa, these two young, exciting quarterbacks that you thought would be two of the faces of the league for some time, or at least, you know, that's what both cities were hoping for, are both guys that are going to collect hundreds of millions of dollars right. for not playing football for the teams that are giving them that money in this next season. But, you know, that was a come-from-behind victory on the road, all the things that we just haven't seen of recent years here. But Tua plays in that game, and he looks athletic. He's making big plays both with his legs and with his arm. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, the Dolphins are down by a touchdown, and Tua brings them back first with an 11-yard touchdown pass to a barefooted Mac Hollins to tie the game, and then puts the team in position for Jason Sanders, who also is no longer a Miami Dolphin, to bang in a 50-yard field goal. And they win that game, and you just thought, like, this is why you draft a guy fifth overall. This is what you want. You want a quarterback that can do those things. This is why you start that kid over the veteran, because you need to see that he can do these things. You need him to develop that. You need the team to get behind him, the city to get behind him. All of those things were happening. But as we saw, it just was few and far between from that moment.
Yeah, that's another good one, Big Seth. I'm going with, I remember this day like it was kind of like it was yesterday, because I just looked it up today.
It's all coming back.
Yeah, it's all coming back now, you know. But September of 2022, me, you, and Travis are in the green room getting ready to do post game at some point, you know, for the team. And we're playing against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, and we're really getting our butts kicked. I mean, we really were. Lamar Jackson still running against us right now, I think, and we haven't stopped him yet. But Tua, you know, and he's got Hill. You know what he did in that fourth quarter in that game. You know, ended up throwing for, what did he throw for, 469 yards and 6 touchdowns in that game. And most of that was done in the fourth quarter. The quarter I was just talking about earlier that we didn't feel comfortable or confident until we were getting it done, he was amazing in that. Now, Tyreek Hill was running by guys, but Tua was still putting it on him. You know, Tua was still making the throws and making the plays, man. And that's one of my favorite moments ever right there for Tua. I mean, I thought no win.
Great one.
If you had seen us sprinting to the studio, Savak, because it's like a mile away from where we were watching in the green room, we just couldn't believe that we came back and won that game. And that was probably, I mean, that moment right there was just really special. Early in the season, you know, so we're like, all right, if we can do that against Baltimore in Baltimore, we got something special here. And we knew the offense was going to be pretty damn good. And it was pretty good for a couple of years until it wasn't, you know. And so I think that moment itself, man, that Baltimore game, those six touchdowns, 469 yards in that fourth quarter comeback, that was a lot of fun. Winner to Jaylen Waddle, you know, with what, 14 seconds left. That was just a special game for Tua. And
I couldn't agree more. I mean, that was my guess is if we try to, you know how they redraft, if we redrafted that draft today, I think if we all picked again, we might all have that as our number one. I mean, that was probably his finest moment as a Miami Dolphin. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. However, we're not talking about him retiring after 15 years and championships and so on and so forth. We're talking about him being released and being paid, you know, almost $100 million to go away, so to speak. And that means that there's got to be some low moments as well. Should we run it back the other way around? I'll go first.
Okay. I'll go first. All right. Because there's some stings, Big Seth. You know what I mean? Doing the post game again, you know, Tua on Christmas damn day, same year. 2022, you know, I gave him all the flowers for that early season game. Now we're at Christmas time against the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers comes to town and we're up 20-10 at halftime. You know, team's playing pretty well. And then the next thing you know, Tua completely wet the bed. Honestly, three interceptions in the fourth quarter. I know he had some concussion issues at that point from what the speculation was all about. Mm-hmm. But damn it. Three interceptions is definitely going to lose you a football game. And sure as hell, it did lose. I think we lost 26-20 or something like that. I'm not sure what the final score was, but we lost. But that wasn't the problem for me, Savak. The problem for me was the post-game interview from Tua. After that terrible, terrible, terrible performance, he gets on the microphone and wishes everybody, hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, you know, go home with your family. I said, bro, I was here for your Christmas. This was my Christmas. You know what I mean? This was my Christmas. So, you know, I think it goes back to some of the microphone stuff, man. He should have been so upset in that game after that loss, after doing what he did. But he was all right with it, man. I don't know. I mean, externally, he was all right with it. Internally, it might have been different. But to wish us a Merry Christmas, I mean, my Christmas was already ruined, man. That's the worst Christmas of my life, Savak.
The Tua that stole OJ McDuffie's Christmas. That was the low point for OJ McDuffie. For me, it was also an off the field, off the field moment. Yeah. And this came after the big contract. The fifth year option. The Dolphins could have exercised that instead. They bought into the market being the market. Tua came out, threw the ball one day in practice, and then then we got the hold in, the speculation. I think panic kicked in for a couple people that also no longer are employed by the Miami Dolphins, and they convinced Stephen Ross to sign the largest contract in Miami Dolphins history at $200-something million. This is not the show where we're going to quote numbers and all of that stuff. So,
right.
It was – in the $200 million range.
There's a lot of money.
It was beyond
a lot of
money. And it was, quite frankly, unnecessary. And then, you know, injuries followed, concussions followed, and declining play followed. And here we are. But after he signed that deal and the Dolphins had their first open practice of that training camp and everybody was fired up because Tua was going to be in camp. We got our guy. Tuanon was in full force. The stands were filled at the Baptist Health training facility. And Tua comes walking out in the red jersey. And they hand him the mic to hype up the fans. And he hits us with show me the money. Show me the money, guys. And, man, I know that, I sound old and broken. It's probably because I am. But I just feel like I know it rubbed me the wrong way. I know a lot of our friends in the media and former players were rubbed the wrong way. And I think a lot of fans were rubbed the wrong way because you had a lot of hardworking people, many of whom might have even taken the day off of work to be there. And everybody cheered because I think they were just so caught up in the excitement. but it seemed to me like, you know, kind of a, there was a lack of awareness there. I know it was a dare allegedly by another guy who's no longer employed by the Miami Dolphins, Darren Bevel, but like, you know, you kind of want your quarterback. That's a management position. That's a forward facing face of the organization position. And I think there has to be a certain amount of maturity in that moment. And it just kind of lacked all of that. And then unfortunately, it seems like that was really just beyond that comment. We kind of saw a different Tua from that point. And I'm not just talking about the guy on the field. I'm talking about the way he carried himself, some of the things he would say about other people. There's been rumblings that things might have been different inside the building, you know, but this isn't kind of a rumor mill here. But I just thought that that was the tip of the iceberg, and it was a real turnoff. And you went from a guy that was one of the more likable guys probably in the National Football League to a guy who slowly became less and less likable with some of those things. And so that was a low moment for me.
I strongly agree with that. See, because I think that all of us agree that, hey, we like when the guys have fun. By all means, you know, enjoy yourself. But learn how to read the room, have situational awareness. And then if you are going to do things like that, back it up when you get out.
Well, that's it.
Right.
That's it. And we're still showing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's still showing them the money. So now this we don't know. We discussed this. So pulling the curtain back a little bit for those of you who are watching this or listening to it, as we said, we pulled Savak right off of the walk, made him run home and get inside and like, hey, man, we got some news to share with you. We got to make sure you join us here. So we discussed a little bit of what we were going to talk about here. Juice and I have no idea what his low point was. So I am anxiously awaiting what the low to a moment was.
See, I got to be that guy and say, honestly, the moment he was drafted.
Oh, man.
Because my thing is, I had never really bought into the whole Tank for Tua thing. I didn't like the idea of it. And then from the moment he took that last injury and dislocated his hip, he was off of my draft board. Mm. So I was not even on board with taking him at that point. But of course, once the team drafted him, that's our guy.
Right.
And he had my support. But yeah, that was the low point right there.
Yeah. Wow. So were you a Herbert? Did you think Herbert should have been the guy, or did you want something else?
I think I would have preferred Herbert, but there was something about his demeanor I wasn't super sold on. Yes, I was kind of wrong there, but
yeah. So who did you want?
I'm the Jordan Love guy. I'm the Jordan Love guy.
I kind of like Jordan Love too.
Yeah.
At five? Not at five.
No. Well, not at five.
But I like,
but you don't have to pick it at five. He didn't. Hell, where'd he go? At 20 something?
Right. So
he
so
made
again,
a move. We didn't have to stay there.
And Juice, you can confirm this because it's easy to say now at this point. But I was adamant that at that point, because they had three picks in that first round,
right,
that pick whichever quarterback. I don't know who was the right guy. Tua had the injury history and he was smallish. And then Herbert had all the physical tools, but you really didn't know. He didn't have the same level of production. And there was all this stuff about his leadership abilities. People didn't go to his birthday party or whatever nonsense that was. And so I was like, look, you guys are the experts. You're getting paid millions of dollars to make these decisions. Whoever you think is the right guy out of those two, because you have to get a quarterback at that position, take him, take that person. And then in with your third pick, I wanted either Love, or I've always been a big Jalen Hurts guy. And I know people in Philly are rolling their eyes and what have you. I've always been a big Jalen Hurts guy. I just think that there's
something. You were taking two quarterbacks in the first round.
Two quarterbacks in the first round. And I was saying that, and you were telling me you can't do it. You can't do it. And I was pointing to Dallas in 89, where they took both Aikman and Steve Walsh, and they figured out which was their guy and which guy they could get trade value for. And it's exactly what they did before Walsh. You know, Walsh played in the league, but he wasn't valued at what they got for him once he started playing football. And so I just thought, you know, if they had picked one of those two guys and then had two young quarterbacks that were all highly regarded, it's just such an important position. It was such an important draft. it potentially could have been a turning point for this organization. And unfortunately, it turned just again in the wrong direction. So that was my thought. Good one, Savak. Man, Juice, I didn't see that coming. Did you see
it? No, I did not either. Yeah, that was.
I didn't think y'all would.
No, you got me with that one. So that's the story. A lot of other things to talk about. I am still really bummed about this Alec Ingold situation, not just personally, but I saw such a great leader within that building. And, you know, you're talking about a few million dollars. I just I understood the reasoning behind it. I just don't like it.
Big Seth, we have to trim so much fat. Everybody's thinking it's a Malik move. So who knows what all this is all's going on, man. But
I get
you know,
it.
And honestly, you know, as we put a button on this whole thing, if all this is a Malik move, that tells you exactly what the guys from Green Bay and how they feel about Malik Willis. And that means a lot to me if they feel that way about him.
Well, that's a great point, Juice. And Dave Hyde, our buddy Dave Hyde, the great award-winning columnist for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, wrote a column over the weekend about how he's like, look, I don't know if that's the guy, and we haven't seen enough, and people talking about the money he's going to command. But if they believe that he's the guy, then they need to do everything they can to try and get him. Because it's just even if you put yourself in a bad position in the front end, it's as we're seeing now with what's happening today and this news and Tua having to be released, it's just too important of a position to hope that you find a guy if you believe that that can be the guy. So we shall see potentially more emergency episodes coming up. And, we'll have
fun season. This is fun season, Big Seth.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't lose any games, but it was too much of a reminder of games lost, of seasons lost, of decades lost. But that's where we're at. Anyway, we will Wednesday be back on the Dolphins Talk YouTube page for Fish Tank Live, and that'll be a big one because my guess is there'll be a lot of news, not just in National Football League in general, but right here in Miami come Wednesday night.
That's right. Hey, everybody, thanks for diving in.
Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.